So now as we come towards the end of our service, we're just going to very briefly think a little bit about what the Bible says about these things and sort of hopefully provoke a few thoughts in us as we head out to grab coffee afterwards. So today is Baptism Sunday. But another very significant date for someone was the 6th of December 2012. Now, I don't expect you to know. This is very obscure. It's not me asking. If anyone did know, this would be really quite weird, or you read the PowerPoint beforehand. But the 6th of December 2012 was significant because it was an incredibly important deadline. It was the last day for the lottery winner of a £64 million ticket to claim it. It's the largest ever unclaimed lottery prize in, I think, the world, certainly in the UK, but I didn't actually find any bigger than that in America that were unclaimed. £64 million was unclaimed. I'm sure you're all thinking, oh, what do I do with £64 million? I know for some of you it's loose change, but for some of us, that's quite a lot of money. That's an impressive amount. Oh, that's a year's salary for me and Oz. It's, you know, we have to work for that. That's the sort of lotto image, but sadly, the person didn't claim it. The 6th of December came and went, and nobody claimed it. All we know about them is that they lived in Stevenage, which is where Oz and Ross come from. So hopefully they'll be looking through their pockets, but sadly, it's too late. Someone in the Stevenage area in 2012 never bothered to check their ticket or check the lottery result. And as a result, they didn't realise they'd won the prize. They never claimed it, and happily, actually, it went to good causes. So that bit's good, because they'd have probably wasted it on speedboats and things, but it went to good causes. But for that person, they didn't bother to check, and so they missed out. Now, I am not this morning advocating that you all rush down to the local newsagent and start doing the lottery to see if you can do it, and that the moral of today is, oh, yeah, I got that from church. You're supposed to always check your lottery numbers really clearly. That's what Barton Church teach. You must check your lottery numbers. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that can you imagine how you would feel if you discovered the next day it was you, but it was too late? So imagine it's the 7th of December 2012 and you're just putting your coat on and you look in the pocket and there is the ticket. But it's too late. The deadline has passed. You can no longer claim the prize. You see, it's important to check things. It's important to check if what we think is true actually is true. I'd imagine that person was thinking, oh yeah, I never win the lottery. I won't bother. It's never me. There's no point looking at numbers. I mean, you wonder why they bothered to spend the money to enter it if they thought that. But they thought, oh, it's never me. I won't bother to check. And because they didn't bother to check, they missed out. And it's important when we think about the Christian faith that we actually check things out. See, we see in this passage of the Bible, which we're going to look at in a moment, that Jesus knew people had different ideas about him. People had different ideas about who Jesus was and what he represented. And we need to think this morning, having heard these incredible testimonies from Shannon and Stephanie, what do we think about Jesus? What do we believe about him? And are we in danger of missing out? So this is a passage from the Bible. Matthew, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, he wrote down all his sort of story of it towards the end of his life, and this is what he records in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, 13 to 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Son of Man's another title for Jesus. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We need to check what we think about Jesus, and we need to check if it's actually true. I talk to a lot of people about faith and things like that. That's part of my role in the church. And often I find that people say things about, oh, well, I think this, but they've never actually checked it out. They've never actually thought or found out whether or not the things they thought about Jesus were really true. Now, time's a little bit limited this morning, so I'm only going to go through this very briefly, but I'm very, very happy to talk far more about this, and I can talk at considerable length. I'm very happy to talk a lot more about this afterwards or in the week or whatever if this really lights your fire and you want to find out more. So three possible views about who Jesus is. So the first one that people sometimes come up with is Jesus never existed. So I say to people, you know, have you thought about Jesus? And they say, oh, well, no, he never existed, did he? He was sort of made up, sort of like Robin Hood or King Arthur. He's a mythical figure. He never actually existed. Well, this isn't an option in the passage we're looking at because Jesus is the one speaking. So it'd be a bit difficult in the passage for the disciples to say, when Jesus said, who do people think I am? For them to say, well, they don't actually think you exist, Jesus, the one who's talking to us right now. It wouldn't really work in terms of a convincing answer. But you do meet people who say, oh, I don't think he ever existed. Well, if that's your view today, you really need to check it out because it simply isn't true. It's not a serious possibility because what we find is that the Roman and Jewish historians of the time who really hated Christianity. These aren't people who were trying to promote it. People like Tacitus and Pliny and Suetonius and Josephus. I can give you all their names afterwards if you didn't catch all those and you want to name one of your children after them. I would just love to have named our son sort of Suetonius, Josephus, Pliny, Tacitus, Homer. I think it has a real ring to it, but my wife wasn't so keen. But these historians at the time, people who were around at the time or just afterwards, they hated Christianity. But they nonetheless record that there was this guy called Jesus going around causing trouble. They didn't believe in him. They saw him as just a troublemaker. But they record his existence. So to try and claim Jesus didn't exist is really not going to get you very far. The second one is that Jesus was just a good man. And that's what we see the disciples feeding back to Jesus in terms of what other people had said. It's the view of many at the time. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In other words, they're saying, well, people think you're really good, Jesus. They really like the stuff you're doing, but they just think you're a good man. You're sort of a bit like these guys. Maybe you're Elijah, who didn't actually die in the Old Testament part of the Bible. He was taken straight up to heaven, and so people thought maybe Elijah had come back in Jesus. But very definitely just a man, a good guy, a really good guy, but just a man. And that's a common view I find today. A lot of people would say to me, well, you know, I do believe Jesus existed because you've just told me about Tacitus, Suetonius, Pliny and all the others. But I think he was just a good man. He was just a guy who was going around saying, wouldn't it be great if we could be nice to each other for a change? And then somehow those stories got exaggerated and distorted over the years. It's a common view, but it doesn't fit with the evidence. It doesn't fit with the evidence because there's no time for what we call legendary development, for those stories to get exaggerated before they're actually put in written form. But it also doesn't fit with the claims that Jesus made about himself. Because if I went around claiming to be God, then the one thing I'm not is a good man. Because if I'm claiming to be God, I'm either lying to you, because I know perfectly well that I'm not God, I'm just making it up. Or I've got all sorts of issues that mean I'm deluded into thinking I'm God, and I'm actually not. Or I actually am God, and therefore what I'm saying is true. But I can't actually be claiming to be God like Jesus does, and it make me a good man. Because it would be a deception, it would be a lie, unless it was actually true. See, Peter's view is that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Now you might be thinking, yeah, but surely the story's got exaggerated. Well, as I say, for a story to get exaggerated actually requires generations of time. And we don't have that with the New Testament. The Gospels were written within the lifetime of eyewitnesses. And so there wasn't time for all of that to be distorted and changed over the years That simply didn't happen because the Gospels were written and haven't been changed. People say, oh, they got changed. Actually, they haven't. We know that the Gospels as we have them today are as they were written. So the stories didn't get exaggerated. And the evidence for Jesus is very clear. Now, I haven't got time to go through it all this morning. You might be thinking, well, I want to know more. Well, the great thing is we're actually giving away some books this morning if you're a visitor. We've got The Reason for God by Tim Keller, all completely free. One called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, and one called It Makes Sense. So this morning you're thinking, yeah, this is a bit interesting, not very, but a bit interesting. And yeah, the testimonies were amazing, that Eric guy went on a bit, but the testimonies were really interesting, and I'd like to find out a bit more about this faith. Then grab one of those books afterwards. It's free, it's not going to cost you anything, just a little bit of your time to read it and think about this question of, is there really evidence for Jesus? You might be thinking, yeah, but how are we going to miss out? You see, you understand, I'm sure, very clearly that missing out on £64 million, that's missing out. You think, yeah, I could use £64 million. That would be very handy. Some people I know would probably get through that in one or two shopping trips. But you think, yeah, £64 million, I could use that. And I could see how not having that would be a loss, would be disadvantageous. But I don't really see how not having Jesus in my life or not believing in Jesus really makes much difference. How would I be missing out by not knowing Jesus? I want to read a short passage from Colossians, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to one of the first churches that started after Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. He says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." You see, we would miss out because through Jesus we have the chance to be forgiven for our past, reconciled to God, and to know why we were created. I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, there are many things I really regret. And many things I look back on, and I really regret things I've said to people, the way I've behaved, things that I've done. And the guilt of those things at particular points in my life has almost been overwhelming as I've reflected on the hurt I've caused people who didn't deserve it. And finding forgiveness through what Jesus did on my behalf by dying on that cross, bearing the penalty for my sin, was incredibly liberating. To realise that I didn't have to continue to live in that guilt, that there was forgiveness, that there was a way of putting the past behind me, of getting it cleansed, getting it sorted, so that I could begin to move on in a new direction in life. And that is what Jesus offers us. He offers us a new start. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us cleansing from everything that we've done so that we can know freedom from guilt and to live for him. But he does more than that. In the beginning of that passage in Colossians, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about, if you like, the enormity of Jesus. That Jesus is God in human form. That Jesus is the one who created the universe. He says, actually, Jesus is incredibly powerful. And the other aspect of following Jesus that I found so helpful is knowing that he was with me. Knowing that he was with me day by day. When I was at school, I was always very little. I wasn't always this enormous height that I've grown into in adulthood. I was very little. I mean, people used to call me stunty, which I thought was a little unkind, and probably today I'd get counselling for, but they said, like, oh, here comes stunty, and because I was very, very little and didn't seem to develop at that stage into the manliness that you see before you. And that meant that sometimes people would pick on me because, you know, they were sort of three or four times the size, and I was a very easy target in that way. So I thought, what I need to do is to have a big friend. So I found this guy, and he was big, not terribly bright, but he was big, and he was sort of like my personal bodyguard through the first few years of secondary school. And I could be, this will surprise some of you who don't know me, but I can be quite obnoxious at times, quite irritating. And so there'd always be people who wanted to pummel me and probably had some justification for it. But whenever they thought, oh, there's that annoying little stunty, we'll give him a pummeling, my big friend would appear. He'd be like, oh, we didn't quite talk like that. If he ever hears this, I am dead. But he would sort of, should we put it theatrically, he would say, oh, leave my little friend Eric alone or I will pummel you. And he was so big that no one would come near me. It was like, all right, I've got him. There was a particular occasion he was away from school, but well, I'll not go into details for that, but it entailed me running faster than I've ever run in my life. But I felt safe at school because I had my big friend with me. And what the Bible says is that Jesus isn't just a figure of history. He's a living reality. By his Spirit, he's a living reality who accompanies us through life. He is, if you like, our big friend, who we can turn to, who we can trust, who no matter what circumstance life throws at us, we can trust in him to help us, to sustain us, to strengthen us. And that's why the Apostle Paul, they sort of draws this picture of Jesus for us in Colossians 1, of saying that this is the Jesus you're believing in. He created everything. And therefore, when you trust in him, you are trusting in someone of awesome power, who can help you, sustain you, protect you, and be with you. So how will you be missing out if you don't believe in Jesus? Well, at least in those two ways. You'll be missing out because you won't find the freedom from guilt that he offers us through his sacrifice on the cross. And you'll be missing out because you won't have that sense of God's presence with you through life, in good times and bad. I'm not saying that believing in God will take all your problems away, but it does mean you'll never face them alone, that God will be with you, that he will sustain you and strengthen you through them. And so actually, to miss out on Jesus by not checking out who he is a really serious thing. And what he offers us is something that we don't want to miss out on. Shall we pray? Lord, we do thank you that you are an incredible God. We thank you that you love each of us so much, that you came in human form to die on that cross, to take the penalty for our sin, so that we could be set free. And Lord, I thank you especially for Shannon and Stephanie this morning, for them so bravely sharing their journey to faith. And I pray that each of us, as a result of today, will grow in our journey and draw near to you for Jesus' sake. Amen.